Hi, my name is Reuben Porter. I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and it's great to have you on our podcast today. We hope this message encourages you, builds you up in your faith, and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Morning, church family. Good to see you this morning. My name's Daryl. If you haven't met me yet, I'm married to Penny. We've been around Crossroads for a few years now, so it is really good to be with you. Shout out to Easter Camps. I went to my first Easter camp maybe 2 weeks after I'd become a Christian, and I have to say it was a pretty significant experience in my life and really kind of set me on the path of following the Lord, so they are very powerful experiences, so let's do all we can to support those young people going to Easter camp. Great. Well, we're in this series, we're week four now in the series More of God, and this is all about encouraging you, more trust, more faith, more presence of God, more power of God in your life. Week number one, I spoke to you just a few weeks ago. We talked about you know, God's plan for your life and stepping out into that plan, even though you don't have all the details, you don't know quite what it encompasses, you don't know what's in front of you, but you know, taking that step of faith and moving out with God into His purpose and plan for your life. Week number two, Jake talked to us about, you know, trusting God with provision, trusting God to give and to provide some of your provision when He's leading you, and doing that even if there's lack in your life, and just trusting Him and having faith in Him that He'll fill that gap of lack. That was cool, wasn't it? That rhymed. Last week, Isaac spoke to us about failure, about spiritual failure, and gave us an account from when he was younger. And he talked about how the Spirit of God can transform us through that experience of failure and give us that real confidence that, look, in spite of that, God has a plan for us. Looked at fear, we've looked at lack, we've looked at failure, we've covered off Abraham, we've covered off Elisha, and we've covered off Peter. So this morning, in week number four, we're heading into weakness. And everyone went, yay. We're going to look, actually, the Apostle Paul, this magnificent man of God, this apostle, this tower and source of strength. We're going to look at the issue, the topic of weakness. So come with me. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You get yourself sorted out in Bibles and apps and those kinds of things. I'll do the same. We're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 from verses 6 to 10. So what does Paul say to us in this passage? 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, 6 to 10. He says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Every one of us, including the Apostle Paul, which from his writings, you know, seems like such a strong person, has weaknesses. Every one of us has weaknesses. We have physical weaknesses, emotional weaknesses, relational weaknesses, financial weaknesses. Yeah, don't check your KiwiSaver balance, right? intellectual weaknesses. What we normally do with our weaknesses is we kind of deny them, or we defend them, or we excuse them, or we resent them, or most of all, probably we hide them, right? We don't want anyone to see the areas of our life where there's weakness. But Paul here in this passage kind of, even though he's such a strong person, he outs his weaknesses for everyone to see. More than that, he says, hey, I delight in my weaknesses. And we're like, really? Whoa. So we're going to look at this morning, today, not how we avoid our weaknesses or excuse them or resent them or hide them, but rather how God can use the weaknesses we have in our lives to strengthen us so that we can experience more of Him, more of him in our lives. And the way this has kind of come together, and even sometimes I'm surprised about how these messages come together. We're just going to hang in weakness for a little while. Don't get worried. It's not the sermon with the power of an endless life. We'll hang in weaknesses for a bit, and then I'll just take you through this short passage, hopefully make some observations that will be really helpful to you. So let's hang in weaknesses. What am I talking about? What is the passage talking about when we talk about weaknesses? Well, I'm not really talking about sort of moral failure or, you know, rebellion against God or sin or something like that. Not talking about those things we need to repent of and be remorseful of and, you know, work with God on and change, things like greed and selfishness, bitterness, pride, envy, lust, unfaithfulness. Not talking about those things. What we are talking about is human frailty, limitation, hardship, vulnerability. That's what this passage is talking about. I'm talking about the things that limit us, and we're kind of stuck with them. John Piper, who's a theologian and a pastor, he said this about this passage. There's a big difference between weaknesses and sins. Weaknesses are things like illness, disability, persecution, and calamity, not sins like pride or envy. So we're talking weaknesses. And we don't know what weaknesses that Paul is dealing with here, these things he calls this thorn in his flesh or a messenger of Satan. But as you can imagine, there's lots of speculation. The one I heard most when I was kind of, you know, going through Bible college and things was that it was eyesight trouble, that he was going blind, and that was this weakness, this thorn, this messenger that was giving him lots of trouble. But other people think it could have been epilepsy or migraines or maybe speech problems or maybe a disfiguring illness, perhaps malaria or some other tropical disease that he picked up on his travels because he was a missionary and went wide and far, maybe anxiety or depression, maybe even demonic satanic attacks on his life, perhaps hostile groups or constant opposition or criticism. He doesn't tell us what he is. He just tells us that he's got it. But weakness is any limitation in my life that I inherited or has developed, and I can't change it. I cannot change it. You know, there's circumstantial limitations that you and I were born with that we don't have any control over and we can't really change. There's financial limitations when we don't have enough money, don't have enough resources through no fault of our own. You ever had a bill that came your way and it wasn't your fault and you just thought, wow. There's relational limitations. We have a rebellious child or difficult parents or a spouse that didn't quite turn out as we expected, or maybe an ill parent. Something in your life you inherited, it caused you pain, but you couldn't do anything about it. There's emotional limitations. Some of us have a tendency, a predisposition to get discouraged or depressed. And it's kind of in our nature. It's not a sin. It's just kind of how we are. Some of us have a tendency, I'm not going to do predisposition again, to worry about everything. That's me. Some of us have a tendency, it's not happening, is it? I'll get it. I'll do it well tonight. Don't worry. Some of us, we lose our temper really quickly, don't we? And we get angry, not going into the sin thing, but we lose our temper, we get angry, we're fearful. We have talent limitations. There's just some things you and I just can't do. We're unable to do it. I mean, Jesus talked about one talent people and five talent people and 10 talent people, but we all wish to know which one we are. And of course, we have physical limitations, don't we? It could be our energy levels or our eyesight or hearing or terrible headaches or we don't sleep. Maybe we deal with a disability or a bad back or some other kind of physical limitation in our lives. Lots of weaknesses and limitations. I have many weaknesses. Penny can give you a very long list. I have bad hips. Actually, I only got one bad hip now because the other one's new. My blood clots over actively and it doesn't dissolve quickly, which actually is a bit of an issue. My ears get blocked every 6 months and I can't hear. I get stressed. Actually, stress happens pretty easily to me and I seem to stay stressed, have a hard time kind of coming down from being stressed. Can get despondent from time to time. If I get angry, I get really intensely angry. That's a weakness I have. I'm beat deaf and tone deaf, and I didn't realize they were two separate things. I tap on the reggae-like offbeat. That's if I can find the beat at all, which is most of the time highly unlikely. I don't really clap during songs in church. Even if I'm following you and you're clapping, I get hopelessly lost and out of time. Terrible. The relationship with my dad was pretty tricky for most of my life. Penny added one in yesterday, but didn't note there were many more. I have a tendency to overcommit myself. I don't know why this is an issue. I've only had 4 sermons in the last 6 weeks. Not sure what's going on there. I'm not sure if this qualifies as a weakness, but anything in a bakery, especially if it involves dough, custard, or caramel, it's probably on the edge, right? A weakness is heading towards sin. There's heaps more. One of the ones that's been really, I guess, I've been really mindful of or conscious of in the last year or so is, look, I'm just not relationally orientated. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think about other than getting the coffee on is what's on the agenda today. What do I want to get done? How many hours are available? I normally count them. And how many tasks I can squeeze into the hours that are available that day. I don't think about the people I will encounter. What I want to do with my team at work, who would I like to connect with or consult with. I just don't think about that. I just don't. I pretty much need checklists to ensure that I do the things that are absolutely relationally required at work and at home. It's probably a good thing I'm an accountant because arguably you don't even need a personality to be an accountant, so probably okay. Now look, seriously, if my family get a text or call or email during the day, that is actually a miracle of God. If they get one during the week, it's amazing. Once a month and I'm doing really well. I just don't really think about it. I'm sorry, family. I love you, but I just don't really think about it. If they engage with me, I'll engage with them, no problem. I'm just sort of not very relationally orientated. And that's not necessarily a problem because there's lots of people in the world like me, and you may be one of them, but it's hard being part of a church community and not being relationally orientated. See, churches by their very nature and design are relational organisms, aren't they? Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12. It's a living, relating, connecting body. They're relational organisms. The most stressful part of Sunday worship is when whoever's leading the service says, hey, we're just going to take a couple of minutes to greet each other. Turn to the person next to you, say, welcome to church. You're looking fantastic today. Have a chat about your week. I'm like, we've got a task to do. There's worship to, you know. It's even worse. You know when they go get up and move around and greet somebody new you've never met before? I'm like, oh, I'm just dying here. It's not that I don't like you. I really like you. I'm really happy to talk to you. I just can't do that. I'm sorry, Ruby. I just can't do that worship. I really struggle with it. It's just, I just have a weakness. So, I know it's really important. I know it's really important. I feel really bad, but I just can't do it. Okay, so in God's kingdom, what do we say about these weaknesses that torment our lives, and how does God take these weaknesses and turn them into things that can strengthen our faith and give us more of God? How can he do that? So let's look at this. First thing from our passage this morning is that, you know, like our weaknesses have a purpose. Paul, from this passage, he clearly understood that his weakness, this weakness he's talking about, had a purpose in his life. He says in verse number 7, because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. The reason for Paul's weakness is clearly to keep him humble, to stop him from becoming proud. That was his purpose. Paul had so many incredible experiences with God. You know, he had that direct blinding conversion on the road to Damascus. He spent years in the desert getting direct revelation from God. Wow. He authored 13 of the New Testament letters in the best-selling book of all time. Give it up for the Bible. Woohoo! And he's the one he describes in the third person in verses 2 and 4 in our chapter today. He talking about himself in the third person, says that he was caught up to the third heaven, caught up to paradise, and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. As a living human being on the earth, and he says, whether in body or out of body, I don't know, but he was caught up to the actual heavenly throne room of God. Wow. And experienced that place that Revelation 4 and 5 described to us. That, wow. While he was alive and then deposited back on the earth. That is so cool. Imagine doing that. And God's like, Paul, we're worried about your pride. So God gives him this weakness, this thorn, this thing to keep him humble. You know, God has a purpose for our weaknesses. They're there for a reason. And I know you don't always think that or feel that, but he has a purpose for them. And I think it's true that we don't always understand or know that purpose. Paul was really clear about why God was giving him this weakness, but I'm not sure we always understand. Verse number 8, Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. He asked God repeatedly, take it away, take this thing away, take this weakness away, take this torment away from me. And God said, I'm not going to do it. There's a purpose for this weakness. I'm not taking it away. I'm going to keep you humble, Paul. Like I said, I've had chronic hip pain and inflexibility for 25 years, quarter of a century. Yes, I got one hip sorted. You know what? The other one's on its way, I can just tell. I feel like I just can't catch a break, you know. I don't know why I have this condition. I've lost count of the number of times I've pled with God to heal this condition. I don't actually know its purpose in my life, but I do know this. When I encounter or talk with someone, and I do talk to people, just so you were wondering, when I encounter or talk to someone with long-term chronic pain and physical limitations, you know what? I actually really get it. I understand. I empathize. And it does open up connection and conversation. The other thing, and this is not medical advice, but I have so much personal experience with the right combination of pain and inflammation medication and the dosages to use, as well as anticoagulants. I'm awesome in this space, but I'm not a medical, right? It creates connection. Now, weaknesses have a purpose in God, and he uses them in our lives, and actually in the lives of others. Our weaknesses have a purpose. But our weaknesses make us vulnerable to attack. Paul talks about his weakness in verse number 7. He says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. When he talks about torment, the word he's actually using when they wrote the Bible is a word that means to strike with the fist and for that to be continuously happening. So what he's saying here is that I feel like I'm being repeatedly punched by Satan with this weakness. The thorn I have in my life is allowing Satan, the enemy, to hit me over and over again. Does that resonate with you? Man, that resonates with me when it comes to weaknesses. Our weaknesses, how we think about them, how we process them, how we deal with them, makes us vulnerable to attack by the enemy of God. And I think, in terms of my experience, particularly in the areas of shame, embarrassment, and discouragement, our weaknesses at times can make us feel like less than a person, less than a person. Now, Brené Brown is an academic who researches in the area of social work, and she's really good in this area. She describes shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love, belonging, and connection. Brené says that at its core, shame is fueled by the fear that we are not enough. Not enough. Not good enough, healthy enough, capable enough, successful enough, and therefore unworthy of love and acceptance. You know, our weaknesses give Satan the opportunity to have a crack at us, have a really good crack at us, and I think particularly through the areas of shame and embarrassment and discouragement. To persuade us we're not good enough, not worthy enough, that we're undeserving of God's love and acceptance and undeserving of others' love and acceptance in spite of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, that is definitely part of my experience when it comes to my weaknesses. I get to the end of a week and I realize I haven't made contact with my adult children at all during that week. You know how you look in your text for contact, you know, who are the people you contacted? And I'm looking down for Penny's name and I'm going down and down and down. And I'm thinking, whoa, man. You know, I get invited by someone like Ezra to greet the person next to me and say, you're looking fantastic this morning. And I don't do it and I feel lousy. You know what the phrase in my head is when those things happen? This is the phrase, what is the matter with you? I'm ashamed. Ashamed of my weakness. Now people see me limping along and say something like, what's wrong with you? You're limping. Man, this happens so often. I just made up a kind of a story. I said, wow, that's what 3 decades of basketball does to you. There's no definitive medical evidence that basketball caused my hips, but you know, like, I'm embarrassed. Our weaknesses open us up to attack from the enemy. That is true. But whilst they make us vulnerable to attack, the really good news is they also open us up to the grace of God. When God didn't fix whatever was going on with Paul, God said to him in verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for you. God said, I'm not going to remove it, but I am going to give you my grace, my favor, my support, my strength, and I'm going to sustain you through your weakness. You know, I said that phrase that Paul used about this thorn, this attack on him by Satan, this torment, was a continual one. He said it felt like I'm being punched continually by Satan through this weakness. Well, this word sufficient is same thing, continuous grace. So continuous punching by Satan, continuous supply of grace by God. Isn't that cool? Now, broadly, grace means a favor or a gift or goodwill or blessing, and it's undeserved and unearned. That's what grace is. But in this passage, it's kind of not generic like that. It's really personal. It's sustaining, strengthening grace that met Paul in his weakness and enabled him to do what he needed to do. I think that is so cool. Gordon Fee's a theologian and a minister. He says this about it. Grace here is not just the favor of forgiveness, but the empowering presence of Christ that enables Paul to continue his calling despite his thorn. You know what I would say about this phrase? I just think that it has power in and of itself. My grace is sufficient for you. Feeling inadequate? My grace is sufficient for you. Feeling powerless? My grace is sufficient for you. Feeling weak? My grace is sufficient for you. Feeling limited? My grace is sufficient for you. Feeling pain? My grace is sufficient for you. Feeling frustrated? My grace is sufficient for you. Feeling ostracized? My grace is sufficient for you. Sitting on the chair, feeling really nervous this morning? My grace is sufficient for you. That's me, by the way. You know, rather than look inside of us for the power and the strength to battle on through our limitations and our challenges, our weaknesses create the opportunity for us to look up. Look up to God, look inward, not to ourselves, but the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in us if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, and source the power and the strength that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to carry on relying on Him for endurance, encouragement, and resilience. That's the power of my grace is sufficient for you. Joni Erickson Tata became a quadriplegic after a diving accident. She's spoken and written powerfully about how God's grace sustains her, not by removing the struggle of being in a wheelchair and being paralyzed, but by transforming her inner life. She says this, God has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. The more intense the pain, the closer his embrace. I really like that. You know what grace says to you and me? Grace says you are enough. You are worthy. You are loved. You are accepted. You are approved. Because Jesus Christ died for you. That's what grace says. I like to say something a lot. This is kind of it. The most powerful being in the universe truly accepts me as an individual through the power and the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, go read it. I am accepted and acceptable and approved and holy and blameless before God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. That has transformed my life. You know what? He does that in spite of our weaknesses. Relying on God's grace shifts our focus from what we lack to what God provides. It moves us to trusting his grace, his favor, his support, his strength, and being confident that's sufficient for every challenge, every weakness, every thorn, every torment, everything we struggle with in this area of weaknesses and limitations in our lives. Author John Bloom says this: weakness has a tendency to increase our conscious dependence on God, which glorifies him and strengthens our faith. And then finally, this morning in our magnificent text, not only do our weaknesses like open us up to God's grace, but they enable God's power in our lives. Look at verses 9 and 10. For my power is made perfect in weakness, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, Paul says God wouldn't take it away. And when he wouldn't take it away, I realized that he works through this weakness to demonstrate and display his power in me. God's power is made perfect, that Christ's power may rest upon me. When I am weak, then I am strong. Weaknesses are opportunity in God's economy for God's power to be displayed in our lives. That's what they are. The word perfect here refers to the completion or accomplishment of a something rather than kind of perfectness or flawlessness, meaning that God's divine strength achieves his purposes through human limitations. Christina Patterson, who's a Bible teacher and author, she says this: our weaknesses do not stop God's strength. Our weaknesses do not stop God's plan. Our weaknesses do not stop God's grace and his love for showing up in our lives in amazing ways. Paul is boasting in his weaknesses here, and it reflects his recognition that Christ's power rests on him when he's weak. And I know we live in a world that values strength, right? Strong leadership, strong opinions, strong performance, strong people. Weaknesses are something we normally apologize for or try to fix or cover up, but here's the paradox in God's kingdom. God says it's in weakness where I show up best, and in weakness is where my power is best displayed. It's not that God kind of reluctantly works around our weaknesses, it's that he deliberately works through our weaknesses. His power isn't reduced by the limits that we have, rather it's displayed through them. And I know that sounds super strange, but can I tell you how this works as a speaker, as someone who does this a bit? Every time on a Saturday night when I read through my finished message and think, wow, that is so great. I nailed it this time. Crossroads is going to love this. Every time the message bombs. Oh, it's bad, it's mediocre, it's just okay. We live in Waikanae, it's a long ride home. Penny's nice and kind, but you just know, right? You kind of missed it. But when I read through the message on a Saturday night and think, this is horrible. What was I thinking? I'm so sorry, God, but it's Saturday night. I have no time to redo it before the morning. And my prayers turn to, dear God, unless your spirit is with me and speaks through me, this is going to be horrible for everyone, including me. It just seems to go a bit better. The ride home's a bit sweeter. This is an absolutely reliable experience. So much so, I've stopped thinking anything I have prepared is ever any good. I realize it's complete rubbish. And I just go, dear God, unless your spirit bails me out again, this is going to be horrible. It's in our weakness that his power is manifest. We all have weaknesses in our lives, don't we? We just have stuff, limitations, things that we didn't cause, things that probably if we could we'd change, but can't. And those weaknesses open us up. We're vulnerable to attack by the enemy through those weaknesses. And I think in the weakness itself, I understand that. But particularly in the areas of shame, embarrassment, discouragement, it's that repeated punching by Satan into our lives. You're weak, you're weak, you've got limits, you're not strong. That's true. But what is also true is that our weaknesses in God's kingdom open us up to the grace and the power of God. What God wants to do is to take the weaknesses we have in our lives and turn them into something he gets glory from and something we can grow and increase our faith and our trust and our reliance on him. Now, you might find me slightly relational. I hope you do. And I think it's got better over the time I've known Christ. That's not me. That is the power of God working in my life. I think Penny said, yeah, you got better. That's God's work, his power, his grace, his goodness. You know, there is purpose in our weakness. So my invitation, my call, my encouragement to you this morning, as you think about the weaknesses in your life, and I know that, you know, there's a tendency to want to hide them, deny them, fix them. Can you change your mind, your perspective from this passage and see your weaknesses in God's kingdom and God's economy is actually something that he wants to use to increase your faith, to minister to others, and to give him glory? Will you do that this morning as we pray? Heavenly Father, we step by invitation through the book of Hebrews into your throne room this morning. We see you on your great throne with a sea of glass. We're standing in front of you. Jesus Christ is sitting at your right hand. The Holy Spirit is at your in front of you. Seven lampstands displaying his light and his glory. We step into that throne room this morning, Lord, and we stop and we acknowledge we have weaknesses. We know we do. And we ask you this morning to help us recognize when the enemy's attacking us about those weaknesses, trying to say you're not worthy, you're not acceptable, you're not approved, you're not good enough, and to see those attacks and to turn to you and rely on you and to say to ourselves, your grace, Father, your grace, Jesus Christ, your grace, Holy Spirit, is sufficient for me in my weakness. And Lord, will we surrender to you by faith and allow you to take these weaknesses in our lives and turn them into power, your power, that we might grow, that others might be cared for, and that you might get glory. And we ask, we request this, we ask this in your throne room this morning, in the name of your Son who demonstrated the ultimate weakness turned into the most amazing power through his resurrection. We ask it in his name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Church podcast. If you'd like any more information on our church, how to give, or after this message you'd like to talk to someone, you can find everything you'll need to know on our website, crossroads.co.nz. Make sure you subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with new content. But thanks again, and we'll catch you soon.